Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Making life easier for everyone. Let's learn about some more interesting innovations. Hello, hello. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Campbell, and in the studio today, I have Rebecca.
Hi, Campbell. Hi, everybody.
All right, Rebecca. It is great to be back with you. What have we been talking about over the past day or so?
Oh, we're talking about ways to make your life easier. And then we use the word, there's two words that we use. One was adjustments. You have to make changes. And then another word we learned yesterday was life hacks.
Mm.
That life hacks are these things that make your life easier.
Right. Now, we all have had to make adjustments in our life. You know, I don't think most of us have the funds to be able to design our apartments exactly how we want them to be,
yes,
right?
That's true.
Most of the time we're moving into a place that's already been built, already been designed.
Yes.
And so when we go in, we often have to either adjust ourselves or adjust the environment.
Yes. And then sometimes we can buy some products so that it makes the environment we're in a little easier to navigate.
Right. And yesterday we were speaking a lot about people with limited mobility, maybe the elderly or people with disabilities or people who are sick that need to make changes to their built environment to make life a little bit easier for them.
Right.
But a lot of times these are quiet adjustments or little changes here and there. But there's a group of people, entrepreneurs and inventors, that are actually trying to figure out ways to design specific products that can address these issues of accessibility, right? And so yesterday we talked about how a lot of times when people are designing products, they're thinking of the masses, the average user. But what they're starting to discover is that as they're designing for these people on the fringes, people on the edges, or as Rebecca used the word yesterday, outliers, that they're actually starting, these products are actually starting to benefit the common masses.
Yes, that's true. It's true.
So what other things are being designed to help people? And where do the ideas for these products come from? Do they just appear magically? You know, someone waves a wand and poof, it appears. How does this work? Where do these products come from? Join us on day two of this article, and we'll start where it says, these design choices never come out of thin air.
These design choices never come out of thin air. They come from time spent with real people in real environments, observing where traditional products fall short and responding to those gaps with practical, thoughtful solutions. More intentional design. Situational disability is something most of us experience regularly without really thinking about it. You don't need a formal diagnosis to encounter friction in your environment. Yet it can be improved by surrounding yourself with thoughtful products. Think about navigating a dark hallway, opening a door with full hands, or focusing in a space that's too loud or too bright. These are temporary or contextual limitations that can turn an ordinary task into a source of frustration. Designing with these moments in mind doesn't dilute a project's creativity. It strengthens it and leads to better customer experiences, a universal business goal. There's still a lingering belief that designing for accessibility means sacrificing style or inflating cost. But in practice, starting with constraints leads to sharper, more intentional design decisions. Products with smarter features and a clearer sense of purpose. Many of today's most widely adopted design features, curb cuts, touchless faucets, voice control, ergonomic grips, originated as accessible solutions. They didn't stay niche, they became standard.
All right, so let's talk about this article here. It says, these design choices never come out of thin air. What are we talking about here, Rebecca?
Out of thin air, I think of magic. So these design choices are not magic. They came from somewhere.
Yeah, they didn't just make it up, right? They didn't just sit in their laboratory and just say, hey, I think I should do this.
Yes.
I should make this. No, they actually study people, right? It says they come from time spent with real people in real environments, observing where traditional products fall short and responding to those gaps with practical, thoughtful solutions. I love this word, traditional products. These are products that we often are familiar with, a bed, a chair, a table, right? Or just even a light, cans, whatever. Things that we use on a daily basis, the traditional products and how they fall short and responding to those gaps with practical, thoughtful solutions. And so oftentimes it's just them making adjustments to these traditional products, right? And this reminds me of what we were talking about yesterday with the definition of disability, right? Where it says it's a mismatch between a person's abilities and their environment. All right. So we're making more intentional designs. Now we have this phrase here, situational disability. I love that phrase. Can you explain it to us, Rebecca?
Well, a situational disability is you don't have this thing permanently. It's right. Like a temporary thing. Like one example, for example, maybe you jammed your toe or you jammed your finger. Right. I think that happens to a lot of us. About a month ago, I jammed my finger really badly.
Oh, man.
And then I tried to open a can.
Hmm.
You want to open a can, but if you have a jammed finger, your hand is so much less powerful.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that power from that finger.
Yeah.
So basically, I couldn't open the top of a can.
Sure.
Very easily.
Yeah.
So that's an example of situational disability. Is my hand always weak? No.
Mm-hmm.
But because I jammed my finger, my hand suddenly becomes very weak for a period of time.
Yeah. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. It says you don't need a formal diagnosis to encounter friction in your environment. So you don't necessarily have to have some life-threatening ailment or some, you know, horrible accident that renders you handicapped or disabled. Yet, sometimes your environment can be frustrating for you and you wish you could get a little bit of help. And this help can come in the form of improving your surroundings with thoughtful products. Right? So these are maybe not completely new inventions, but products that have maybe been adjusted or enhanced in some way, right? So it gives us a few examples here. Can you share that with us, Rebecca?
Well, the first one is navigating a dark hallway.
I think we've all done that before.
We've all done that. Like you want to go to the bathroom at night,
right?
And then your bedroom is a little bit, you have to walk a few steps to get to the bathroom. That
right.
Might not be easy.
Yeah, so one product that might be beneficial for that is a night light, right?
Yes.
That has a sensor on it.
Yes.
So if it senses movement, it'll turn on.
Yes.
Right.
That's a good example.
Yeah. All right. And then the next one, it says opening a door with full hands. Again, this is not something that only people with disabilities experience. We've all probably experienced that at some point. So that's probably why they have the sliding doors now.
Yeah, that helps.
Right. And certain cars are equipped with sensors. I don't know if you've seen those that are at like under the bumper. So you can stick your foot under the bumper and then the trunk will open up.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, cause I mean, if your arms are full of groceries, you're not going to have to reach your keys.
Exactly.
Right. So a design like that. And then focusing in a space that's too loud or too bright. I've definitely had that struggle. You know, you're trying to write an article, or you're trying to study, and the environment, people are talking, maybe you're in a coffee shop, there's too much music going on, and for me, it can be overstimulating sometimes.
Yes, that's right? How we have the earphones. Now our earphones can basically block out the noise cancellation, yes. Right? That's one of the best inventions, I think.
Yeah. So it says here that these are temporary or contextual limitations. What are we talking about here?
So I think everyone understands temporary. Mm-hmm. So something that's temporary is just for a short period. It's not for a long time. Contextual, on the other hand, is you are in that context.
Right.
For example, we talked about that noisy coffee shop.
Yeah.
Well, a good way to block out the noise is just leave the coffee shop.
Right.
If you want to leave the coffee shop and you go to the park instead, it might be a lot more quiet.
Right.
So it's contextual just means the context, the place or the situation you're in. So contextual, you can change the context.
Right. Yeah. So back to the, you know, your hands are full, you're trying to open a door. That's the context. There's
yes.
a situation that's happening. You're not always limited. It's just in that situation, you don't have your hands accessible, right? So contextual limitations that can turn an ordinary task, such as opening a door, most of us do that on a regular basis, into a source of frustration. Like, trying to balance my groceries, trying to get my keys, trying to do all this, and it's frustrating.
Yes.
Okay. And it says here, designing with these moments in mind doesn't what?
It doesn't dilute a project's creativity.
What does that mean?
Okay, let's go to dilute. To dilute, just make weaker. For example, if I want to dilute a drink, like for example, let's say I have Coke and I don't want the kid to drink so much Coke. I just add water to it.
Right.
And then that's diluting. So it just means that when you're thinking of these situational or these contexts where you need help, just because it's a situation, it's not permanent, and then you design a product so that it helps that situation, it doesn't mean that your design is less creative.
Yeah.
It's actually a very useful design. Like, not all designs have to be radical.
Yes.
They can be one small change.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's what we're talking about here. As a creative myself, oftentimes I'm like, oh, what is the most original thing that I can come up with? What is the most unique thing that nobody's ever thought of?
Yes.
And sometimes that can be very limiting. It's just like, oh, that's not special, or someone's already done that before. But what we're saying here is designing with these frustrations in mind doesn't dilute, doesn't make your product any less innovative,
It's still creative.
Creative, yeah.
Yeah, like it might not be like super, like you might not feel it's like a radical creative invention like the iPhone was when it came out.
Yeah.
But it's still an important and creative, useful design.
Yeah, like we said, they're oftentimes not new products. They're
yes.
just kind of tweaks or adjustments on existing products.
Yes.
And rather than diluting a project's creativity, it actually strengthens it. It enhances it. It makes it better. And then it leads to better customer experiences. And that is the universal business goal. That's what all businesses want, right? So like you were saying with the smartphone, I mean, phones have been around for generations.
Yes.
Right? So a phone is not a new invention, but what Steve Jobs did when he created the iPhone was he enhanced it. He made it better.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So there's still a lingering belief that designing for accessibility means sacrificing style or inflating cost. What does that sentence mean here?
Well, a lot of times when we say we want to make something accessible to more people, we feel that, oh, because it's something that makes things more accessible, then it will probably not look good.
Right.
It won't be aesthetically pleasing. So
yeah.
It's a sacrificing style.
It's like the age old question, right? Are we talking about style or functionality?
Yes.
Right.
But you don't have to pick sometimes. In English, we have an idiom that says you can have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
And what you can have your cake and eat it too just means you can have both.
Yeah.
You can have both style and it's still functional. You can have both. And it doesn't have to be a super expensive innovation.
Right.
Because here it says, or inflating cost. It feels like if I want to make something accessible, then I have to spend a lot of money to make this product.
Right.
But maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah. And in practice, starting with constraints leads to sharper, more intentional design decisions. So rather than having a blank slate where anything is possible and all things are okay, having certain restraints, having certain constraints leads to more intentional design, right? Where they're actually able to create something that is more practical and actually useful. And products with smarter features and a clearer sense of purpose, meaning that they're not just designed for the sake of being designed. It actually reminds me of, there's this show in the States called Shark Tank. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yes.
Yes. In other countries, there's dragons. Anyway, dragons, all these. Basically, these inventors and entrepreneurs come and bring their products to these investors and try to pitch and get them to invest in their products, right?
Yes.
One I saw recently, very, very interesting. Again, it's like something you've never thought about, right? So it was like a woman or two women, they designed something to wear under a wedding dress, right? So they're saying like, it's silly, but it's like, okay, what is one of the biggest struggles that a woman has when they're wearing a wedding dress? What do you think it might be?
They can't move.
Yeah.
They can't move properly.
Even more nuanced. They can't go to the bathroom, right? You're wearing this huge
dress. That's true.
Dress.
That's true. It's not easy because like you have to lift up the skirt. And,
yeah.
Well, it's not easy.
It's not easy. So what they actually designed was this slip, I guess, or this kind of thing that you wear. It's very thin that you wear under the dress.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go to use the restroom, it becomes kind of like a bag, like cloth. You can tuck your dress in there and it has like holes that you can kind of slip. So you basically
bundles your wedding dress into a bag.
Yeah.
So you can go to the bathroom.
Yeah. But it's still on your body. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a very practical solution.
It's practical.
You know?
But you might only use it once every.
Yeah. But again, it's very like the word niche here, right?
Yeah. It's very niche.
Yeah. But it solves a practical problem that
a lot of
people have, right?
Yes.
And who knows, right? Again, this might be something that then becomes something that a lot of women use, you know, when they're wearing dresses.
That's so interesting. These two women say how they came up with this invention, that one of them have a wedding and then she couldn't go to the bathroom.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. So I think a lot of times it happens like that, right? Where we ourselves are frustrated with something or we have a problem and we wish that there was a solution for it. And I feel like that's where most business stems from, right? Providing a solution in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And here we have some examples of some widely adopted design features. Curb cuts, touchless faucets, voice control, ergonomic grips. These were originally designed as accessible solutions.
Yes.
But now they're standard.
They're standard now, yes.
Yeah.
Because it helps everybody.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like touchless faucets.
Mm-hmm.
We never thought we really needed touchless faucets.
No.
And then COVID came along.
Yeah.
And then now it's so standard. Like
yes.
we think we should have had this years ago.
Right. It's like, I should have it in my house.
Exactly. We should all have it.
All right. And we have curb cuts. What are curb cuts exactly?
Well, curb cuts is basically just small slope from the sidewalk to the street.
Yeah.
And that's just for wheelchairs or maybe not even wheelchairs. It could be baby strollers.
Yeah.
It could be
luggage.
Luggage. Like so that you can go down a little bit easier instead of having to lift the wheelchair, lift the baby, the carriage, and then have to put it down on the street.
Yes, yes. And voice control, right? Being able to speak. And that's definitely something I feel like is, you know, when we were younger, it was very sci-fi, right?
Yeah.
It's just something you'd see in the movies, but now it's in everybody's house.
I know, on our phones.
Yeah.
Hi, Siri.
Yeah. Oh, don't.
I just activated Campbell's phone.
Yeah. And ergonomic grips. What are we talking about here? What are ergonomic grips?
When we talk about ergonomics, it's basically something that the design works with your body. Mm. It works well. So people can grip it. Like here we talk about ergonomic grips. I'm thinking, when do we have ergonomic grips? For example, some appliances,
right.
Like you might have some small electric appliances and then they just have a easier, like they just have a grip that works easier. Like you can hold right. the thing easier because yeah. of the way it's designed.
Yeah. I think like you were saying, when you hurt your hand,
yeah.
you know, sometimes your hand strength is not as good because you hurt it or something happened and you just need something to help you be able to hold on to things better. Right. So they were originally designed as accessible solutions, meaning things to help people with special needs, but now they're commonplace. They're standard. Okay. Let's finish up our article. Join us where it says design with.
Design with. The real opportunity today is not just designing for users, but designing with them. When we observe how people actually live, what they reach for, struggle with, work around, we find the insights that matter most. We call this approach design with, a process built on listening early and often, where lived experience isn't just part of the feedback loop, it's part of the product development foundation. Accessible design isn't a feature or a trend. It's a foundation. When baked in from the beginning, it expands a product's relevance, strengthens emotional connection, and makes the experience feel more human. It reflects the reality that ability exists on a spectrum, and that good design considers everyone on it.
All right, we have design with here. And so it says the real opportunity today is not just designing for users, but designing with them. What is this sentence talking about here?
It means like we have to think about who will use our products. And then you actually involve them right from the beginning.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times we make the product and then we have people test it and say, what do you think? But yeah. we already made the product.
Yes.
But here we're saying you get them involved right in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like you invite them in and say, oh, what's wrong with this appliance? Like yeah. what, how do you think we can make it better?
Yeah.
You get them involved right from the beginning.
Yeah. So before you even make anything, you're
yes.
actually working with people, not designing something and then thinking that it's going to benefit them, but then they think, no, it's not really that helpful. So how do they actually design with people? Well, it says they observe how people actually live. They observe what they reach for. What are the things that they try to get? What are the things that they're struggling with? What are the things that are maybe making their lives a little bit harder? Or what are the things that maybe they need to work around? Just a simple example, like we were said, just curbs, right? Maybe having to navigate curbs, right? And when they observe people and they see how people actually live, they receive insights. Okay, they receive ideas that matter most. And this is what the design with process is. And like Rebecca, you were saying, it is about listening early and often. So it's not just, here's the product, give us your feedback, give us your response, how do you like it? It's more, how do we work and design and create this together, right? So accessible design is not just a feature or trend. It's not just something that's fun, and it's not something that's just going to pass. It's a foundation. This is kind of what new products are being built on, right? And here's an interesting phrase. It says, when baked in from the beginning, it expands a product's relevance, strengthens emotional connection, and makes the experience feel more human. What are we talking about when something is baked in?
When something is baked in, it's included it's included in that thing. Like, for example, we think of baking cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Like if something is baked into the cake, for example, it's like the sugar or the eggs.
Yeah.
It's already part of the cake.
It becomes part of it.
It's part of the cake from the beginning.
Yeah.
We don't add the sugar in that. It's already part of that cake.
Yeah. So when you bake in, for example, chocolate chips versus putting it on the top, you know, when it's on top, it's just something that's added kind of as an afterthought. But when it's baked in, it's part of the whole product from the beginning, right? And this actually makes it more relevant, meaning it's something that connects with people more and people are able to enjoy and appreciate it more, right? And the last sentence here, it says, it reflects the reality that ability exists on a spectrum and that good design considers everyone on it. What do you think of this phrase that it says, ability exists on a spectrum? Do you think that's true?
Spectrum just means there's a very big range. Like all of us have different abilities and it's a huge range. So I think it just rethinking like what is ability and what is disability. And because our ability or disability may shift in different seasons of life, we just have to understand that good design tries to cover as many people as possible.
Right.
And whether it's like you're completely mobile and healthy or you're not so mobile, good design should help all of us.
Yeah. And we're all unique and God designed us and created us very unique and we all have different needs and wants and, you know, good design considers all of that. Well, we thank you for joining us for this article. We hope that you were able to learn something from this article. I definitely did. I know Rebecca did as well. And maybe this will inspire you to create something that will help those around you. And as always, we invite you to join us again next time for another interesting advanced article. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.